I'm Tim York, and it's good to have you with us. I think I know about everybody in the room after I said that. This seminar was kind of born out of the realization that two or three things. One, that a lot of folks who've never been, they've been to the national, but they've never been on the national floor during business. I run to young guys who say, I was at the convention, but I didn't come to business, or I don't know why business operates, or, and so, and our Spanish brothers are here, and we want them to be a part of us, and in that is learning how they can become part of our leadership and a part of everything we do, and so understand how we operate. I grew up coming to Free Will Baptist conventions well, as an adult. I wasn't as a child, and so I kind of learned most of what I know by watching everybody else. And I probably everybody in this room, most of the people in this room are in that boat. But there's an important component to this that I want us to kind of walk through together so that we understand that we're everybody's a part and everybody has a voice. And it's really important that you be a part of the convention when we're meeting in business. And so we're going to talk about that today. A delegate at our convention is made up of different aspects. You can be a delegate by the association appointing you. You can a minister. There are other all kinds of different ways, and that's spelled out in our treaties. But everybody gets an opportunity who is a delegate to have say in the business. We do not operate as a movement from somebody making big decisions and handing them down. We work from our people speaking, and the decisions really move up the ladder, I guess, is a good way as we understand it in structure. But we're a congregational government, and if you are an ordained minister, if you are a delegate of the association, then you have full right to speak, to have say, and to have your opinion shared. So with that being said, we decided we would title this What Every National Delegate Needs to Know. We're going to start with how we structure ourselves. We have standing boards. When you think about Free Will Baptist, we operate in trusting our boards. We charter each board and trust them to operate their budget and ministry as. And so when you come to the convention, they prepare reports, budgets, and they present their audits to the general board. Remember, on Monday is as important as Tuesday at our convention. We have a general board, and I'll share with you how the general board is made up. The general board is made up of every association has one member. Our board chairs have a member. Our officers are a member. And that general board hears all the business of Free Will Baptist. And then they recommend to the convention, we've heard this, we've seen the budget, we've seen the audit, and we pass that on. If I could say one thing right here at the beginning that I didn't put in the notes, every person who's going to vote at the national needs to read the digest when they get it. Because that's the meat of what we do. That's where everything happens. That's where the audit is. That's where the budget is. That's where the report is. I say this lovingly, but what our directors say from the microphone does not have as much historical value as what is in print that will be passed on to generations to come. So the general board on Monday hears all this. And I have some general board members here. How many general board members do I have in here? All right. So we get to hear it twice, and everybody else ought to hear it twice. Because you can speak at the general board, you just can't vote at the general board. And long before I was a general board member, I'd go sit and listen to the general board because I wanted to know what was coming to the floor and so I could really work my mind with it. So you can hear it on Monday when the general board meets, and then you get to hear it again on Tuesday. Now, it's abbreviated now in the general board, but by the time you've gone to the general board, read your digest, you're ready to vote. Now, I've already answered this. Who is the general board? Each association has a delegate, board chairpersons, and the general officers. Now, the General Board recommends all board reports, budgets, and audits to the convention. So the convention then hears, so when you get to the convention floor, we will seat the delegates. And after we seat the delegates, what's the first thing we hear from? Anybody remember? We hear from the General Board report. Because the General Board report is all the standing board reports plus any other business that has come before us. The only thing we don't deal with from the General Board is what the committees have done, like what the Resolution Committee will do, like the Obituary Committee or the Registration Committee. So most of the work of the convention is done in General Board and then brought to the delegates. Let me explain this. Because the General Board votes it does not mean it's passed. It's only a recommendation to the delegation. The delegation, once they vote, they have spoken. So what happens on Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday is the final say of what our convention says. So I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, I think, through some of this. But each session, now we're going to move to the standing rules. That's the structure. Does anybody have a question about our structure?
Hey, quick question. With COVID, can the General Board step in case of a meeting like last year with COVID?
Okay. Yes, yes. Our forefathers gave us the right to do that. And what they said was, if in case of war, disease, they got a list of things, again, in the treaties, we're authorized to do that. I think it's Article 13, but I'm not sure about that.
A digest of reports is also available early online if you download it as a PDF, so you can read it before you get here.
Yes, you can go to nafwb.org. And by the way, you can download the treaties. It's both in English and Spanish. You can also see the digestive reports. And you can go back and read years past, which is really cool. Now, we're going to talk about the standing rules. At the back of this book is the standing rules. We often don't pay attention to them until somebody violates one. Okay? But this governs. Most people don't even know this is in here. And one we violate a lot, I'll talk about here in just a minute, okay? The standing rules. Each session of the National Association shall be called into conference by the clerk. By the way, we need to pray for Brother Randy. He's doing much better. Hopefully he'll be able to preach a week from Sunday, our national clerk. But you notice on Monday night, Randy always gets up and says, I call this session into order. And then he passes it off to the moderator. Or the assistant clerk in the absence, the senior minister of years. In other words, the oldest guy who's a preacher, if Randy and I don't show up and William doesn't show up and Ernie doesn't show up, is the guy. Can you envision a 98-year-old man getting up and leading the convention? But that's how they set it up. If there's a quorum present, we haven't had that struggle for many years. And then the moderator takes over, and in the absence, again, the old guy gets up and takes over again. So William will take over. If William's not here, then we do an age count. I don't know who gets up and says, who's the oldest guy here, you know?
And that's smaller after the U.S. Senate.
Yes.
If the leader's not there, the oldest senator is head of the Senate.
That's how it works, yes.
Since you're being recorded, you might repeat.
William just said that this is modeled after the U.S. Senate, because if the oldest senator in the U.S. Senate is not there, if the leader is not there, then the oldest guy is the guy who takes over. Now, or the senator, yes. Another rule, each meeting of these bodies, which I thought was unique, they use plural instead of singular, shall be opened by reading a portion of the Bible and with prayer, and shall be closed with prayer. Have you noticed that every session we have someone read the Bible and we pray? Normally I do a devotion, moderator's devotion, or have someone do it as we open up and pray. And then Brother William will come up at the morning session on Wednesday and he will read scripture and pray. And then normally Brother Ernie will do that on Wednesday afternoon. And somebody asked me one day, said, why do you always pray and read the Bible? You were just moving, continuing business. I said, go read the rules. These are the rules we go by. Well, any person not a member of these bodies may be allowed to take part in the discussion. Did you know that? And somebody said, why would we do that? Well, sometimes our auditors are not members of Free Will Baptists. And so once the report's given and the motion and second has been taken, any discussion, they would have to have permission to speak. And so there are people who are not members who are allowed to speak into our business if it's a part of our business and the moderator deems it necessary. And you will, well, we'll talk about that a little later. It shall be the duty of all members of this body to be present at the time appointed of each meeting. I wish we practiced that. And anyone wishing to retire shall first obtain permission of the moderator.
You can't just get up and walk.
You cannot just get up and walk out of the session because your favorite report was given and you want to go drink coffee out here at the restaurant. How many people practice that rule?
I did one year and I got laughed at.
Yes, you did.
Because you told us to do it, and I was new and young, and I got up and did it, and everybody laughed.
That was Charleston, West Virginia.
Yes, sir.
I invoked it. I asked them to go by that rule that day.
Because you got up, you said, don't leave without me. So can I leave? We got to get ready for the music. And you're like, yeah, everybody laughed at me.
Hey, Tim, remember when the old man said, moderator, I got to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, I'm past the kidney stone. I said, just get out of here. See, our forefathers wanted us to respect the business. We're moving to a generation, and we've done this for 40 years in my time. We've just moved in and out of the convention floor because it's a big room. When I asked them in Charleston, because remember, we voted that day. We had over 3,000 people, delegates, voting that day. And I knew when that vote was over, if everybody started getting up, talking, leaving, we couldn't finish the rest of the business. You've got to have control. And I do think it's important. And the idea here is not to go out and drink coffee and talk to your buddy. The idea was a delegate ought to stay for all the business. And I think we're missing that in our culture today. But that's one of our rules. So if you ever hear me do that, Ben, you were correct. But the problem of that is there's so many delegates. If everybody gets up and asks to leave, that's all we'd ever get done. The moderator shall not allow discussion carried on in a spirit which is not Christian or orderly. That has never been a problem in my tenure. I've never had to say that's not a Christian statement or that's unkind. And I'm thankful for that. We want to do our business in the right order. No member shall speak more than 10 minutes or more than twice on the same subject in the meeting of the National Association and the General Board without permission from the moderator. This is designed so that somebody can't keep talking. Okay? You'll notice I will caution people when they ask a question on the floor. Do you want to ask both questions now or do you want to ask them one at a time? Because normally when you ask a question, you want to rebuttal. If they ask two questions, their time's done. If they ask them one at a time. If they ask them both at the same time, they still have that second 10 minutes to talk. Does that make sense to everybody? Because you're only allowed to speak twice. You can't ask a question, then say something. And sometimes directors will get in conversation with delegates. If you see me move the director out of the way. I'm not being rude to that director. We're not designed for that. That's not how we operate. It's not conversational. You're saying something to everyone. And it's a good spot for me to say, I have some rules that I have invoked that others don't like. For instance, when we're in discussion, I don't want anybody clapping, amening. I don't mind when we're recognizing people. But agging someone on or booing someone is inappropriate in business. You want to be as quiet so you can hear what that individual has to say. Because what that individual has to say is important. And And when you, sometimes we don't understand that. I never forget the first time I did that was Kansas City. And Mark McCraney got up and made a passionate about the war in Iraq, because here he was in that uniform. And everybody started to clap, and here I am going, no, no, you cannot clap. And everybody's going, he's anti-American, you know. And so, and Mark's my good friend. But at each session of the National, the moderator shall seat the delegates in a designated section of the assembly room at the beginning of each business meeting. You notice when you come in, we say, you're going to sit between here and here. And if you run over here, we're not going to count your vote. That's the rule. That's not my rule. That's the rule. Now, through the years, I've watched some people let them slide in. That's against the rule. That's out of bounds, for instance. That's like letting a player go inbounds, out of bounds, come back in, catch the ball. Can't do that. That's what happens. So that's why we do these things. And I wish we had more time to let people see the rules and talk about the rules, but the problem is the people who disobey the rules normally aren't there when we start. I'm getting old. I can say what I want to now. At any meeting of the General Board Executive Committee, a member may have a dissenting vote recorded. Now notice what happens here. By his request. Let's say the General Board votes to change something that I don't like, and I'm a board member. And when we get to the floor of the National, it's going to say the General Board has recommended this. Now, if I really oppose it because of some really conviction, or I just adamantly am opposed to this, doesn't represent my people, then I have the right to say I want my vote recorded as a nay. I saw this happen one time in General Board. We had to call time out and referee for about 20 minutes to figure out what to do with it, because it never happened before. But it's really important for you and I to understand everybody has a voice. Our forefathers wanted all of us, not some of us, but all of us, to have a voice. Now, yes.
As a General Board member, if I'm in that meeting and there's something and I'm that guy who wants my vote recorded as a nay vote on the record, does that get then reflected
in the report?
It's reflected in the report.
Yes, it sure is.
Not just in the minutes.
Yeah. It can be, you know, and if I was ever going to do that, I would state, I want it stated on the floor too.
I got you.
Do you mind sharing what that instance was?
I prefer not. It was one of our bad experiences of long time ago. We had an association trying to come in. They already had an association in that part of the world. That's all I'll say. And there was a lot of division among us. And
it was the addition of
an association. Yeah. Yeah. And it was we're talking. I was system moderator, so that was a long time ago. Now, another rule, the following guidelines shall be enforced by the moderator. National Departments, Executive Office, WDAC. By the way, we got to change this. WDAC is a department. So we've got to work on that. Shall limit the individual reports to 30 minutes each. In the old days, when I first became moderator, a director could talk as long as he or she wanted to talk. And William has been recording time limits for 18 years. And what's our record? Do you remember, William?
We won't call names.
No.
We've had an hour and a half report.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think an hour and 23 minutes or hour and 33, something like that. Too long.
Tim, this is a different issue, but everybody that speaks, we have recorded how long they have spoken. Get up from the floor.
Yes, we know how long you spoke.
So if somebody comes to the mic and they speak twice, but William or somebody is
timing them all the time. Yeah.
I time everybody.
Yeah, we know. He's always telling me they got 5 more minutes, got 3 more minutes, got 2 more minutes, they got 1 more minute. And the 30 minutes, we hold pretty tight. Now, the director can request, you'll see, more time. I think it's the next slide. Commission committees, with the exception of the general board, shall limit the individual 15 minutes. Now, the commissions have 15 minutes. Now, permission to exceed the allotted time can be granted by the moderator. And, of course, it's only in rare circumstances. And we really kind of hold that. I want to know why you need an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And you'll notice, I'll get up and stand behind the director if they're starting to go over. I pulled on one director's coattail one day, and he stopped and looked at me, and I thought, you're done. But I didn't want to, I was trying to be gentle with it. It didn't work well. You know, it's like telling your kid, shh, what? You know, the above guidelines apply only to individuals' reports. We do not limit motions, debate, or elections. In other words, if the executive office, I'll use Brother Eddie, since if his report is 30 minutes long, but the discussion goes another hour on some part of that report, that doesn't count. It's only his report, what the auditor says, what he says. And I'm going to be honest, I've looked out and saw people I thought might be dead where somebody had talked so long. One guy didn't move, and I made one director mad at me. He ended up being my boss later. I said, please check on your neighbor. If he doesn't move, he may not be with us anymore. And so, I mean, you can only sit so long. I'm just telling you, folks, you can only sit so long. And anyway, let's talk about that's our rules. We have 10 rules. That's all we have. But they are very important to us because they're how we govern ourselves. And most people never talk about this, but everybody needs to know. One of my concerns as moderator is I get a lot of questions from a lot of people saying, how do we do this? And they ought to already know this part. When I first became a part of the convention, there was 150 men out there who could been the moderator in a split second and knew the rules and could have debated anything and knew how to manipulate them, by the way, to get what they wanted. We don't have that anymore. Now, on page 54 of this book, we have what's called our Constitution. Now, the rules guide us as practicality. The Constitution tells us hard line what is going to happen and what's not going to happen. And we'll get to our bylaws in a moment, and our bylaws basically do the same thing. The Constitution describes who the membership is. See, people understand you can be a member but not be represented. And I'll tell you why in just a second. A member of the convention is a state association, a district association, or a local church that doesn't have the opportunity to join such association. So they are a group, an association together. Now, representative, you can only be represented at this convention if you do what? Anybody know? What allows your association to vote on that floor? Anybody know?
Pay your dues.
Pay your dues. I had a state look at me one day and say, we're just not going to pay our dues then. I said, we're not going to vote. We're a member. We get to vote. I said, no, the Constitution says you got to pay your dues to vote. Now, you'll notice if somebody don't pay their dues, what do we normally do? We take a promise they're going to pay their dues and let them go on and vote. But that church fee is what binds us together when we come to vote. And I'm glad it's that way, because people who don't pay ought not have a vote. And it's not a big fee. You know, we're not asking for 10% of your offering. We're asking you to pay your fee. And the representation, and then we have governing documents, like you're supposed to fill out a letter. And by the way, data has become more important to us over the last 2 or 3 years. I encourage you, when you fill your church letter out, be detailed. When the association fills it out, be detailed. When the state fills it out, be detailed, so we kind of know where we're at. By the way, It's okay to put how much the church is worth. The IRS doesn't see that document. I've heard all these years, I'm not putting that down, the Internal Revenue, they already know how much you owe. They can go to the property taxes. It's a real simple thing. So, the Constitution. Now let's talk about our bylaws. The bylaws, which most bylaws that we read are in conflict with the Constitution. Our forefathers were brilliant. They took the Constitution and then they added some practicality to the bylaws, how it functions. So in those bylaws is how we learn how to do things and how we ought to do things and how we should do things. You know, some things we do at the close of business. For instance, have you ever noticed we'll stop in the middle of business on Tuesday and elect the general board? That's been given to us. That's why we do that, because it's in those documents. Now, the bylaws tells us the meeting of the National Association shall be governed by the rules of parliamentary law as set forth in Robert's Rules of Order, except in the case where those rules, which are superseded by some rule of these organizations. Now, are we strictly a Robert's Rule group? No. Let me tell you one I get caught on every year. By the way, the future farmers of America train parliamentarians better than anybody I know. They're better than the law firms. And I always have a guy come up to me and go, that's not right. And I say, yeah, you're correct. But I'm not changing. For instance, if the executive committee gives their report or the resolution committee gives their report, what do I normally say following that report? We have a motion to adopt and take item by item. Second. In real parliamentary law, that motion is useless. It's already had its motion and second by the fact it came from a committee. We're open for discussion right then. But three other moderators before me that I know of have done it the other way, and I ain't changing it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't broke, don't fix it, and it's not that big a deal. It would cause more confusion if we tried to switch it than if we just went ahead and took care of it the way we do. And plus, I do think it gives some credence and thank you to the committee who did work. Thank you for, you know, we're going to at least adopt what you've done. Let's talk about other items of business that we use. We have a resolution committee. The resolution committee is appointed at the beginning of business, and that resolution committee will hear resolutions from states. It will hear resolutions from individuals. They will prepare that report, and then we try to pass those out either usually Wednesday morning, Wednesday at lunch, and then we deal with them Wednesday afternoon. And the obituary committee we no longer have, really, in the sense we let the executive office deal with that. The credentials committee is there at the beginning, and they are the ones who tell us who's paid their dues and who have not paid their dues. And then we select standing board members, commission members, and general officers. We elect all of those in our sessions. Now, I think I have 15 minutes left. I want to just walk you through what a convention day looks like. Has everybody been to a convention? Has everybody been on the floor of the National? I think so. When you are there, always sit in the section, business section. If you have something to say, get up and say it. And to our Spanish brothers, we'll have a translator. So if you feel better in your first language, that's fine. Don't feel like you got to speak English to us. If you want to, that's wonderful. But if you don't, we're going to work with that. And we want you to be able to understand in your best language what's going on, because it's one thing to have a conversation in two languages. It's another thing to do business in two languages. And so we want to get there because we want our Spanish brothers to be a part of who we are. And we look forward to the day they help lead us and are a part of everything we do. And I think this is a starting spot for all of us. And so I encourage you to encourage everybody, and I encourage English and Spanish. Get people to the business meetings. The scariest thing for me is Wednesday afternoon when 80 people are voting. When I could walk in with 2 busloads and do anything I want to do. People understand how serious this is. And by the way, they can walk in, pre-register, get their stuff, and you never know they're in town. And so it's important for us to do our business correctly. I know it's boring at times, but there's a lot of things boring. Greed. I mean, Phyllis is back there. Sometimes I sit and listen to her day, and it's really boring. But I listen. I may flip through my phone while I'm listening, but I'm listening. I think for our Spanish brothers and our English brothers, the very thought of being able to work together and do the kingdom work as a group may be the most awesome thing of my lifetime to see happen. And we got to get there. And this is a starting spot. What we talked about today works at your state level. It works in your local association. And so engagement is really important. As long as you feel like you're the outsider, you don't engage. As long as you feel like I'm not a part of the group, you don't engage. You know, I recently joined the Rotary in my hometown. And in the town I live in, Smyrna. And it's interesting. All those guys have had 30 and 40 years of sitting around a table together. I always feel like the odd guy when I walk in the room, even though they make me feel at home. They all know me. They say, come, hey, preacher, come over and sit with us. There's nobody ever been mean or ugly to me. But I still don't understand how all this stuff works. So I'm always wondering, have I goofed up? And we've all been there, haven't we? That's why we want you. There's no goof up here. We want to make sure. And let me say this. William's here. I'm here. Brother Eddie, Ernie, and a lot of other people. And Randy will be with us. If you have questions, come and talk to us about it. We're always glad to walk you through what may happen. And we just really believe that this was important to at least give some initial. There's a lot of stuff we could have gone through, but we would have gone for hours. But our forefathers wanted us to do congregational government, and they wanted us to do it at a level with representation at the general board so that we don't hear it once, we read it, we hear it, and we hear it again. So I encourage you, general board, Monday morning, 8 o'clock at the convention. I encourage you, Tuesday afternoon, 1:30, Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon. I meet a lot of people who say, I was at the convention, but I never go to business. And I'm thinking, why'd you go? Well, I went to watch competition. No, you went to a Vertical 3 event. You did not come to the convention. When we meet to do our business. And that is really crucial. That's where we take our doctrinal stand. You know, we have our commissions. And our commissions offer different things to us and opportunities. And I'm glad we're doing seminars at the convention. I love the fact that we're doing them. I enjoy doing them, enjoy attending them. But that's not why we're there. We're there to do this. So, I got about 10 minutes. Questions? Don't count them. Yeah, it's a rule. Don't count them. And because it's not fair. It's just not fair. And plus, it's not what the rule says.
I want to clarify something. You mentioned resolutions committee. So a resolution that is submitted to the resolutions committee does not have to come up through one of the member associations or local church. No. Any individual delegate. They have to be a delegate to be able to submit a resolution?
No.
Anybody attending the convention yeah. can submit a resolution.
That's why the resolution committee is the filter. Yeah, they're the filter of that thing. I remember a day when that was the hottest part of the convention.
Yeah.
That was the most exciting thing. When
I'll
you
see what I can do to bring that back.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put you on a committee you wish you never got on, too. I pointed one guy one time, and he kind of done that, and everybody in the committee came back and said, you ever do us? Put him on a committee with me again, I'll kill you. Yeah, he was on that committee, wasn't he?
We had no resolutions. Until this guy came up with three.
Yeah, I came up with
three. One of them was pretty, it went on and on.
Yeah. He spent the rest of the convention talking until he got to the convention.
We'll be friends for
Yeah, yeah.
What about the local and district and state level? I mean, I've always conferences and it's not there either. And they don't understand business because every association is different. The things that you hear and see there, you're like, well, that's not right.
Well, the thing I hate more than anything else is to be at an association meeting and the moderator look at me and go, is that right? And I go, because I've just had to, you know, I wish you wouldn't even ask me. Just go ahead and do it. And I had a few of them ask me, and I tell them privately, and they go out there and say, Brother York said this, and then they do it the wrong way. And I'm going, I didn't say that. But anyway, it's kind of like being in Sunday school and the Sunday school teacher really messed the passage up and go, well, what do you think? Well, it's too late to deal with that.
Yeah, okay.
Brother Tim, for those who want to learn more, you know, upcoming guys who want to learn more about parliamentary rules and laws, how would they educate themselves?
Well, most of us learned it through a book or class. I would suggest taking an online class. William?
Teams. And the thing is, the parliamentarian does not represent the body.
Yeah.
It represents them. And I go every spring to Mercer University Law School. You do it like online, doesn't cost a penny. They talk about updates. But anybody that has a law school, you can go on their website. And really, it is so simple how they put it out.
And that is. One of the things about moderating, I'll say, is your local referee has to go to school every year to be a referee. We don't do that well with moderating.
And Tim, so. You know, there is this misconception that parliamentarian is there to intervene on behalf of the body, but he's not.
No, that's not his role.
I am Tim's parliamentarian. I'm not the body.
You know, in the SBC, they hire a parliamentarian outside the SBC, he's a Presbyterian. And he has no dog in the fight at all.
Oh
yeah, he is the guy.
Yeah, he is the guy.
He stands up behind him.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the guy. And someone else. Oh, Brother Eddie's here. Please don't say anything. Please don't say anything while we've been talking about.
There's one in every crowd.
Yeah, yeah. Did you all have something?
Oh,
okay.
I did want to ask for your comment on this. I've heard it said that at our district associations or quarterlies, whatever you call them where you live, your state associations, and at our national association, that there is such a lack of involvement that especially for younger members of our churches who say, you know, why don't we ever get a voice, that literally if they will show up, that it won't be long before they're running significant parts of our associations. What do you...
Oh, I definitely agree. Listen, the greatest blessing to my denominational ties, I can go back to four or five things. One, Homer Willis. He introduced me to everybody and his brother. Two, Kentucky, when I was 23 years old, made me their general board member and their promotional director. That thrust me into the movement. And I will forget, Melvin Worthington came to me one day and he said, Tim, you're on the most important board in this denomination. I said, I'm not on board. He said, well, yes, you're on the general board. And he was right. I mean, Melvin wasn't right a lot, but he was right then. And you can tell him I said that. I think involvement, look, I'm not going to trust you with a position if you show up one time and just want the position. Or show up five times. You know, I hear young men who want to be moderators someday. But I watch them walk out of the business meeting all the time. They're not in there the whole time. The only way you can learn is to be there.
That's right.
Because there's certain things that's going to happen. And you got to learn how to handle them. You know, sometimes something happens on the floor, and I refer back to Bobby Jackson's statement, and I go, how would Bobby handle this? I never forget one time we decided we might want to bring in a certain individual, kind of coach me along in a heated situation. We don't say what. And there's Dr. Bickerly, who we talked about bringing in. And he said, nope, I'm not coming. You can handle it. I never will forget Keith said, what are we going to do? I said, I'm going to handle it. Dr. Bick said, I can handle it. There's a certain amount of that takes place. You've got to learn that. I hope that answers your question.
Tim, this idea of, you know, if we get in certain positions, you know, we'll have a little bit more say and power. We are thinking in terms of the U.S. government. And let me just tell you, Tim and I have very little power, or very little, because we're limited.
That's right.
And we are not power heads or power bosses.
There are things going on in the convention that I despise, business-wise, but you'll never know that I despise it. You'll never know I didn't like that, because that's not my role.
And I think me and you both 30 years ago said, if we ever get there, we'll change this, and it
happened. Yeah, we didn't change nothing. It's been interesting to watch this convention keep its spirit all the way through, bad, good. And again, I go back to now we're bringing in other languages. We're growing. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And I anticipate the day of a, you know, one of our Spanish brothers being the moderator and being a part of this movement in a stronger way and leading us. And then who knows what other group may, you know, this is not the end. We're planting seed and passing on to another generation. I hope we pass it on a lot stronger and with more of a kingdom view than we ever had before. And I never forget the first day I was elected moderator. I shook Carl's hand, he congratulated me, and two guys jumped on me. and it's been that way about ever since then.
Welcome.
God, may God bless your ministry, dude. All right, I got one more minute. Anybody else? Was this helpful, brother?
I'm learning.
Okay. I want to be helpful to you. And we.
Terminology and all that.
And anytime you want to talk, I'm here. Okay. And Brother Rufo and I get to talk quite often. So yeah, we'll all. And can I encourage all of us, get these young guys at the meetings.
Amen.
Hold a gun on them, make them sit there.
Amen.
Okay. Oh, that's been recorded. But anyway, hold them there because it is important for the future and for them. And I just think non-involvement is not the answer. And, you know, my son Andy's 25 and our church sends him and I make him sit through that whole thing. And he gets it. Now his son, my oldest son Tim, the church don't pay his way. He comes from North American Ministries, but he sits there. Why? Because he's been sitting there since he's 9 years, or probably younger than that. He's been sitting at that convention a long time. I want my kids to understand how important this is.
Absolutely.
So we can hand off the football to another generation.